Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
I think it is unconscionable that they would want to build a mosque here because you're building a shrine to the very ideology that inspired those jihadist attacks.
Why does Comedy Central give such deference to Islam while mocking Christianity? Is it because they confuse the civility of Christianity with weakness?
Go read one of the presidential proclamations about the National Day of Prayer and Kwanzaa and Ramadan, and all of a sudden, Constantine doesn't look like this dead figure of history. He's living and breathing on Pennsylvania Avenue.
My name is Mike. I'm a fan of Law and Order. I'm a believer in Law and Gospel, and I love Issues Etc.
This really started to not only get on my nerves, but concern me probably 15 years ago, but it really started much, much, much earlier than that. I guess I first started to notice it after about 5 years as a parish pastor that we had changed our vocabulary. And not just slowly but surely, but it seemed rather quickly. At least in the circles where I run, in Lutheran circles, allegedly conservative and confessional and traditional Lutheran circles, the language had changed. The vocabulary had changed. No longer did we talk so much about pastors, shepherds, servants when we talked about those men who are called by God to preach God's word and administer the sacraments. In fact, we even stopped talking about that kind of stuff too. All of this was replaced with one word, leader. And now you can't swing a cat without hitting someone who's advocating for new leadership in the congregation, new leadership in Christian circles, new leadership for the Christian community, and a lot of volunteers to be those leaders, men of action, they claim to be. Is there anything wrong with leadership in the church? It seems as though nowadays that is what we talk about most. We're going to be talking about leadership in the church in the first half hour here of Issues Etc. On this Wednesday afternoon, it's the 9th of June, Pastor Burnell Eckert will be our guest. After that short conversation on leadership, Mark Hemingway will join us to talk about Tuesday's primary elections just passed. To round off the first hour of the program, Bishop Keith Ackerman will join us. You may have read in the paper that certain members of the Episcopal Church USA were removed at the request of Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, from key positions, decision-making positions in the Anglican Communion. We'll get Keith Ackerman's response to that. Colonel Jeff Williams joins us to kick off the second hour of the program. We'll talk about God's view of creation from space. He's author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, The Work of His Hands. And then we'll spend the rest of that second hour talking about the teachings of the Word Faith Movement, sometimes called Name It and Claim It, Prosperity Gospel. Primary teachers, Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Robert Tilton, Fred Price, and Joel Osteen, by the way. Rob Bowman, author of the book, The Word Faith Controversy, will be our guest. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours of Issues Etc. Our call-in number, live this Wednesday afternoon, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org. You can Twitter us at issuesetc or leave a question or a comment on the Word Faith Movement at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Burnell Eckert is a regular guest. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Kewaunee, Illinois, author of an article in the latest issue of Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy, titled Leadership and Community. Pastor Eckert, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back.
What has been the chief casualty of, a quarter century of the call for leadership in the church?
Well, I think that's a very good question. And I also think that it's really this idea of leadership is nothing new. I mean, it's a different approach, you might say, but it's the same old attempt, the age-old attempt, whether wittingly or unwittingly, to replace the gospel with another law. I think that's as simple as it gets. Because, as I tried to point out in this article, the idea of a true leader, as we have traditionally understood it in the Lutheran Church, is, of course, primarily the pastor. The pastor is the leader of the congregation who feeds them with the gospel and the sacraments. His leadership is his bringing to them of Christ and of his mercy. But this new approach to leadership and this new way of using the word, which is kind of popular in the emerging church, as they call it, has nothing to do with that kind of leadership, but with getting people to step out and act and do something. And so it's really, at the end of the day, it's the same old tired replacement of the gospel with another law, with making you think that you have to do something to curry or gain God's favor. And, of course, that's inimical to the Reformation and the spirit of Martin Luther. So I guess that's how I'd start it off.
We have all sorts of qualifiers that are attached to the term leader or leadership nowadays in the church. Visionary leadership, that's what we're told we're in so much in need of. It's not almost a buzzword. It is a buzzword. What does it really mean when we hear, well, church leaders tout their own or call for more visionary leadership?
Well, I've been looking into this a little bit. There's seminar they had up in the suburb of Milwaukee earlier this year was all about this, and it was in a Lutheran church, but they had this Leonard Sweet, who is in fact a Methodist minister, so that would give you a little clue as to kind of the approach that they're taking. And the approach that they take with regard to leadership there is to encourage people to find within themselves. It's an attempt to get people to step forward and to do something that needs to be done to help your community, to help your church, to help your pastor. And these are good things because the law is a good thing. That's the tricky part about this, as I see it. The law is good. And so attempts to get people to do good things are in themselves not necessarily bad. What's bad is when they are used or promoted as replacements for or a new gospel, and that's what concerns me.
You say that in a lot of the literature, a lot of the seminars, the leadership conferences, that you could, if you had the money and the extra time and you were a Christian pastor, you could probably spend, maybe 250 days out of the year just going to leadership conferences if you were willing to travel enough. You say it's what they don't say, what they don't talk about that is often most telling about what this movement is all about.
Yes, I believe so. I think it's just another attempt, and I say another because I think that there have been many. There have been attempts made to sell, under one guise or another, the law of God as a gospel. It's the old. We're reminded by Martin Luther that a man should be given a doctorate in theology if he can consistently distinguish between law and gospel, and I think that he wasn't kidding. It's not an easy thing to do, and especially when these tricky attempts are put forward, and it's all good. I mean, people should be willing to step forward, and if they see someone in trouble, rather than pass by on the other side, be an active good Samaritan. Do what needs to be done. That's what they call leaders. Fine, that's all right as far as it goes, but that's not good if that replaces the leadership of the pastor in preaching the gospel and feeding the people with the mercy of God. That's an entirely different thing. It's as simple as the difference between law and gospel, as far as I can see.
Is it also a different definition of church?
Oh, yeah. I think it's part of this new attempt to move away in this postmodern world, move away from what is considered absolute. There are no absolutes in the postmodern culture. Everything is kind of relevant. Everything is community-based, and that's why I inserted that little "ugh" in there. I just, that's just sort of a knee-jerk sort of a visceral reaction that I have to this kind of thing that people see in churches when there's so much emphasis on community and leadership and this kind of good thing that makes everybody feel warm and fuzzy inside if they're not tuned into what they really need. And to the rest of us who yearn for the gospel, the mercy of God in Christ, it's frankly a little bit creepy because it's a masquerade. It's a sham. It's not what we really need. We can get Moses in many ways, but we need Christ. And that's my concern. And that's what I think is left out. And perhaps you might say conspicuously absent.
It sounds like you're saying these things may indeed be communities, but they are pseudo churches.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say the church is not at all present there. You know, who are we to say that kind of thing? I'm just saying that what we're seeing in the literature and what we're seeing in the conferences and things that they promote is not the gospel. So rather than pass judgment on the people themselves, I think it's our job to be as wise as serpents and look at, with a critical eye, the material that they're giving us, to suggest that this is what the church needs, leaders, people who will step forward. Well, no, that's not what the church needs. The church needs Christ. It's as simple as that, I would say.
When we come back from this break, we'll continue our conversation with Pastor Burnell Eckert about leadership and the church. John Milton is famous for having written once, "Necessity, the tyrant's plea." And I might be wrong, but there is an overtone of tyranny in a lot of the visionary leadership. After all, if the guy casts his vision and you don't follow his leadership, in a lot of cases, you're out. We'll talk about that tyranny with a velvet glove right after this.
I attended Sunday services in a beautiful Singapore Lutheran congregation. One local man approached me and asked with a pronounced Southeast Asian accent, "You live in St. Louis? You know Todd Wilkin?"
Pastor Matt Harrison reading from his new audiobook, Christ Have Mercy, How to Put Your Faith in Action.
Who? You mean Todd Wilkin? It turned out this man, half a world away, was a regular listener via the internet, and he's hardly alone. It really is a whole new day. We are witnessing the greatest free flow of faithfully Lutheran information in the history of the Lutheran Church. It is the worldwide moment for confessional Lutheranism. It is Missouri's moment.
You can download Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison at cph.org. It costs only $10.99 to download. This new audiobook is a must-listen for Issues Etc. fans. Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison. cph.org.
Less laughing, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our community, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about leadership and the church. Pastor Burnell Eckert is our guest. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy, titled Leadership and Ugh, Community. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Kewanee, Illinois. Maybe I'm overstating the case, but it seems to me that there is a kind of a soft form of tyranny at work in a lot of the talk about leadership, Pastor Eckert, that is essentially boils down to, we see it kind of blatantly in pop American evangelicalism, where you have the likes of, say, Rick Warren, who views himself as the visionary leader. If you want to join his church, you got to sign on to his vision, some sort of a covenant promise you make to buy into the vision 100%. Otherwise, you're not really a team player. You might want to look for someplace else to go to church. Is it too much to talk about this as tyranny?
Well, I have not experienced it personally, thankfully, but recently I had a person come, was recommended to me and came to my church, a young man who had not been exactly there, but to a similar church, kind of a holiness body type church, where similarly they had heaped on the things that people need to do to become acceptable, whether to God or to the church or whatever. And this poor guy was really tormented. And unfortunately, that's the same thing that has been the case ever since and before the Reformation. People are tormented with the idea that they must do something to become acceptable to God. And when people preach this as the doctrine of the gospel, well, yeah, I would say that's tyrannical, because it's not only stealing the gospel from people, but it's giving them things that they're not capable of carrying out. That's the very thing I would say that so terrified Luther before his own Reformation turn, as it were. I would agree.
I wonder, it was in the, probably 19th century that a philosopher, Friedrich Schleiermacher, set about to define the church. And he came up with a very American, although he was not American, a very American definition that has apparently caught on quite well. He said, look, the church is a voluntary association of like-minded individuals. If that's the definition, Pastor Eckert, then what the church needs is leadership, voluntary leadership. What is the church, in fact, defined by Scripture, and how does that in itself give us a better answer than just leaders?
Well, I've always been, quite honestly, a little bit hesitant to define what the church is. I would rather talk about where the church is, because, well, as it says in our confessions, thank God any 7-year-old child knows that a church is the lambs that hear the word of God and come to him, or something. That's a paraphrase, but it's more important to talk about where the church is, I think, because that's where I need to be, where the bride of Christ is found, where Christ pours into his people the gifts of his grace. And this is really about grace alone. It's about not my efforts, not the efforts of the people of God, but the grace and the gifts of God being poured into us freely. So I guess I'd put it that way.
And then what do those men called into the church to quote unquote lead? Localizing or finding the church around those marks, what would that mean then for our pastors today?
Well, I mean, that's where you get the diametrical difference, the diametrical opposition of the leadership community to what I would say is the true church. And that is, the leadership and community idea is, you know, the heart of where the church is where people are actively reaching out and doing these leadership things that they encourage people to do and building community and so forth. Whereas for us, the church is found where her marks are found, where the gospel is preached and the sacraments are administered. These are the gifts of God. This is God reaching to us rather than we reaching to each other. And I think it's really a pretty fundamental difference that we have.
In the end, we are probably stuck with this nomenclature, with this change in vocabulary?
Well, I don't know who we is, but I'm not using it. I'm sure you're not using it. I'm suggesting that this is another area in which we need to be careful about the terms we use, because the leaders of, you know, it's curious that when they talk about leaders and they use this kind of nomenclature, they are also not talking about pastors in the same way as we are. For them, the pastors are kind of the facilitators and so forth. In fact, they might be people who encourage leaders in their kind of definition or world of leadership. So a pastor is different for them as well as what a leader is. A pastor is not synonymous with a leader, and a pastor himself is not a shepherd. He is not a one who feeds the sheep. And you can get into all kinds of tangents onto why we insist that pastors be ordained and called and be representatives of Christ and so forth. But it's all just an entirely different breed of animal, as it were.
I can't help but think about John's account of the upper room with the disciples before Jesus' betrayal, where according to John's gospel, Jesus does something that was probably completely unexpected and perhaps not appreciated until after he had ascended into heaven. He clothes himself literally as a slave and washes his disciples' feet. He has a discourse on what it means, what he has just done and what it means, culminating with these famous words, "You call me master and Lord, and indeed I am, but I am among you as one who serves." What do Jesus' words have to say to the church today?
Well, it's interesting that you should bring that up in this context, because if you look at John's gospel where this is found, it's clearly something that happens on Maundy Thursday, and yet John's gospel does not give us the account of the institution of the supper. He leaves that for the other, for the what are so-called the three synoptics, or the two of the three synoptic gospels, the other gospels. What John does, I would say, is offers, by way of this account of the foot washing, a commentary on the supper, it seems to me. That he is, in effect, washing our feet. He is serving us. He is helping us. He is doing for us what we need done for us by means of the sacrament, by means of what he gives, by what he offers. The washing of the feet is illustrative of that, I would say, in a very helpful and wonderful way.
Before we let you go, tell us a little bit about this Journal of Lutheran Liturgy, Gottesdienst.
Well, Gottesdienst has been around for about 13 years, and we've been publishing quarterly since 1992, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy. We are all of the editors, and we have an online department now. We're all clergymen in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The online Gottesdienst you can get to by gottesdienstonline.blogspot.com. And the regular website, which we have links to there, is the place you can go to get the print edition. And one thing I like about it is that it's concise. We have only 4 issues a year, and it's only 20 pages long. But there's no advertising and everything. It's packed with information so that you can feel good about having subscribed to it and get through reading it. You know, it's not big and bulky, and people don't like to read a lot, especially when they're laymen these days. So that's one of the things that I've done to try and appeal to people, is not make it too long and pedantic, but just get right to the point. That's at gottesdienst.org.
Folks, you can find out more about Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy, under the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Pastor Burnell Eckert is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Kewanee, Illinois, author of an article in the latest issue of Gottesdienst titled Leadership and UGG, Community. Burnell, thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
To those would-be leaders caught up in the craze about leadership that has swept through the church and in many ways done so much damage by taking our eyes off of the gospel and ushering in a new era of what? Leadership. Principles to be followed, visions to be adhered to, let's just call it what it is, rules and the law. And such a dearth, such an absence of the gospel, meaning such an absence of Christ himself. Communities, organizations, call them what you will, churches with quotations around them, that run perfectly well without Jesus and the forgiveness of sins,
without the proclamation of the gospel. Oh, maybe once in a while to get new people in the door, they might talk about Christ and Him crucified. But on a Sunday-to-Sunday basis, year in, year out, they run perfectly well on the law without any real abiding need for the mercy and forgiveness of sins that is found only in the gospel. Leadership that can be defined without the gospel, a community that can be defined perfectly well without reference to Christ's saving work for sinners, this does not become the church. A word to would-be leaders, such leaders, you think you can do better than Jesus? Jesus washes his disciples' feet. He serves, he says, he serves not only there, but in his entire life of obedience, solely for the sake of sinners like you and me. He gives his life. He sacrifices himself. He who is master and Lord serves us. Don't try and do better than Jesus. I'm Todd Wilkin. When we come back, we'll talk with Mark Hemingway about Tuesday's primary elections. It's Wednesday, June the 9th. Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. The Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Greenville, South Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio. First Lutheran, Lufkin, Texas. Concordia Lutheran, Sykeston, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Granite City, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Gladson, Alabama. And Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
China is well known for its cruel one-child policy. They force women to undergo abortion even in late pregnancy to lower the nation's population. In a South China province, a mortuary worker was just about to throw the coffin of an aborted baby into a furnace for cremation. He stopped in his tracks when he heard the cry of a baby. The baby boy was almost full term, so he rushed him back to the hospital. But officials wouldn't treat him, leaving him in the lobby to die. Once they were very sure he was dead this time, his little corpse was sent back to the funeral home. This wasn't an isolated case. Horrific and documented stories continue to flow from China, a country with one of the worst human rights records in history.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org. And stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.